Have you ever had one of those dreams where people from your childhood and college years and so on are all talking to each other, and then your conscious part of your mind is saying, "This doesn't make any sense. These people could never meet." That's what today is like for me. My folks are online. That's the box that I don't. They're first time Zoom users, by the way, my parents. So I'm glad that they're here today. That's the Mr. 1931 box. But I've also got a friend here online, Dallas, coming in from Richmond, and Kirk and Mary Roby, and Lynn introduced him and B earlier, are very good friends from Muncie, and it's wonderful to have them here. Some UUs, and they generally don't do it in earshot of ministers, have started to call ordinations coronations. And I can understand why. Contemporary ordination services have grown to become 2 hours or more long. I found an order of service that had seven songs in it. Now, to me, that's an abuse of your audience. It's also become practice to invite a whole bunch of ministers. Most of them are local, but it's become customary to invite at least one or two from quite a distance, and the congregation foots the bill for the travel and the hotel of those out-of-town people, and then usually also pays the person to deliver a sermon. Sometimes there are guest musicians who also get paid. And then there are all of the hundreds of volunteer hours it takes to put together that big of a production. I've also found ordinations peculiar in the sense that most of the time you don't ever see the person being ordained, except for maybe when they accept a gift. I was at one service, online service recently, where all of a sudden, oh, there they are. And then they went away, and that was that. I spent 2 hours online in their service and saw them for a handful of seconds. So to me, the whole production is more like a show that's being acted on you or for you instead of with you. So today we're doing something that's much closer to a standard service, and that was a purposeful choice on my part. Now, on the one hand, I get it. It's nice to have a public celebration that recognizes special occasions and special achievements. But on the other hand, the current trend of long and bigger coronations seems, at least to me, a bit over the top and ostentatious. I would assert that the growing trend of large, lengthy coronations is a visible symbol of a trend we're seeing in Unitarian Universalism for a heightened sense of authority among ministers. Just as the denomination has sort of been quietly creeping into the soft power that exists between the denominations and congregations, so too are a lot of ministers quietly and steadily creeping into the area of power between ministers and congregations. If you talk to anybody at our regional organizations, they'll tell you that minister-congregation conflicts are on the rise, that they have had to mediate more and more conflicts, and like not a little bit, like a very noticeable jump in the number of mediations they've had to do. At the heart of many of those conflicts, they say, are ministers with a much greater sense of authority than was true just a few years ago. And it's resulting in pushback from congregations because ministers are acquiring power and authority that they didn't have a generation ago. Another trend in our faith is that the average number of years of any minister's tenure at a single church is going down. There could be a number of factors that are adding to that. For instance, the denomination has begun to limit how many jobs a minister can apply to and how many ministers a congregation can interview. So it probably makes it harder to find a good match that way or for a minister to end up in a part of the country they most want. And there are also congregations that have a reputation for chewing up and spitting out ministers, right, that they refuse to deal with their own stuff and just blame everything on the minister and then toss them out and get a new one. So it's not just one issue that's shortening the number of years a minister spends in one place, but it seems to me, at least, that a contributing factor to that is that some ministers are acting with a much greater sense of authority and gravitas than their predecessors. And it's leading to more conflict in our congregations. So today we're not going to have a coronation. We're going to have an ordination. Now, first of all, that's more my personal style. To be honest with you, this is kind of hard for me. I'm not a pomp and ceremony kind of person. I've gotten 4 degrees in my life, advanced degrees. I went to my undergraduate ceremony. My 3 graduate degrees, I didn't go. Because to me, the experience of my education was much more meaningful to me than walking on a stage for an afternoon. Leanne and I had a very humble wedding, and our feelings were that a wedding is just one day. A marriage is what happens every single day after that. So in our mind, in terms of what should get more effort and energy and money, well, we'd rather put that into our marriage than into our wedding. Now, I know not everyone sees graduations and weddings that way. I'm not trying to convert you to my own personal perspective. I'm just saying that that's how I see pomp and ceremony. But beyond the personal part, we're not having a coronation because that is not my professional style either. Let me say more about that. When a minister expects a very big, lengthy, expensive ordination, oftentimes it's from a congregation they've only known for a few months. So it's become habit for waiting to do your ordination until you get a job, and then doing that within the first month or two of the new job. Right, so you're asking a lot of a congregation who barely knows you. Well, when you ask for that kind of a lavish ceremony, does it send some messages? Now, do ministers deserve recognition to be treated special? Well, sure. Becoming a minister is not easy. Becoming a UU minister in particular is not easy. Ministry is challenging work. And rituals do have great power. I appreciate that. So we should have them. But does having them bigger necessarily make them better? Well, consider this. 45% of American newlyweds went into debt to pay for their wedding. The current average debt in the U.S. is $11,700. The average wedding costs $25,000. So of the people who went into debt for their wedding, 37% of them regretted it. 47%, so half, said that their debt had caused them to consider divorce. So these figures are suggesting that ostentatious rituals, costly rituals, they might make us feel good in the short term, but they could very well have some hidden costs in our relationships over the long term. And if it can be true for a marriage, well, why can't it also be true for the relationship between a minister and a congregation? I have had some UUs tell me that they felt that a lavish ordination at their church did send messages to themselves and their congregation and very much set the tone for the kind of power relationship and dynamics that they had with their minister. So professionally, personally, I want what we're doing here today to reflect the kind of relationship that we want to have together. Today's a celebration. I do absolutely feel special. But putting more hours and more money on it isn't going to make me feel any more special. And I would also add that to me, a celebration leaning more towards modesty also seems fitting to the values of a minister. We're not appointing a cardinal today, or a patriarch, or a pope, or an emperor. those rituals should be over the top and ostentatious because of who those people are. That's not what a UU minister is. We don't need a ritual that matches. I think we should have a ritual that matches the kind of authority and power a UU minister has. But more than all of that, today is also not all about me. It's also about all of you, and it's about the power of the congregation. When we think back on our heritage, we probably don't imagine that we have much connection to the Puritans of colonial New England. In most ways, we probably don't. But when it comes to our polity, meaning how our congregations are set up, right, and how they function, we are 17th century Puritans. The Puritans of New England created a structure for themselves that they called congregationalism, and we still call it the same thing. So they designed their congregations to be self-governing. And membership was based on your agreement to enter into a covenantal relationship with the congregation. And people inside of that congregation who demonstrated extraordinary talents, the congregation would recognize them as the elder and the ministers. And then the three of those together, the minister, the elders, the congregation, would practice shared co-leadership. And we inherited that, and we continue to practice congregationalism. So this means that for us, power is largely horizontal. It's not perfectly horizontal. There are times, like the budget, for instance, when the power of the board is greater than the rest, you know, or worship, where the minister might have greater authority. But on the whole, right, our power structure is designed to be co-led, co-shared, and horizontal. And this is part of what makes today special to me. Because I formally became a minister and earned the title of reverend, not because somebody up our chain of command made it so, or a group of ministers that I didn't even know over in Boston made it so. It's because you all made it so. Ordination, in my mind, is a loving gesture. It's a congregation collectively saying, we see a minister in you. I was pointing the wrong way. We see a minister in you. And we see it because you've shown us. It's not because we had to do it. It's not because other people decided it. We decided it because that's been our experience. So today is about conferring on me the authority and legitimacy from all of you. And how you all feel about me matters way more to me than what anyone else thinks. Other people aren't experiencing me as a minister the way that you are. This is why I treasure your opinions the most. So thank you, truly thank you for that. After my experience with the denomination, my confidence and my spirit did need shoring up. And it did that. The affirmative vote to ordain me back in July very much did apply a salve that my heart and my spirit needed. And this is why today is not just about me, it's about us. Ordination is also a celebration and exercise of your power and your authority over your own affairs, including who you get to recognize as a minister. I look forward to our time together, and I see great things on our horizon. You get it? Horizon, horizontal. Now, if there comes a time when you feel like I'm beginning to tilt our structure, power structure, more towards a vertical and behave more like I'm a bishop, you should always feel free to let me know that and help me redirect myself back more towards a horizontal arrangement as things are designed to be. I strive to be accessible and responsive to feedback, and that's important. UU ministers need to know when it's time for a course correction. I don't have any interest in flexing my power and giving us commands about what to do. We're in this together, all of us. So please do let me know how I'm doing and how I can improve. It helps me be more effective, and it helps us all build a healthier, happier congregation. And as we move forward, allow me to make one other request and invitation. Ministry is a job without a clear stopping point. There are always more things that could be done. And it can be challenging sometimes for us to know what to prioritize or how to best channel our work hours. Now, sometimes if there's a need in a congregation, it's obvious, but sometimes not. And my feelings are never going to be hurt if you all let me know, could you do a bit more of this thing, this aspect of ministry, and to help balance your workload, we could get by with less of that. That is absolutely appropriate and, in fact, very helpful to me to help be a better minister with you. I will share some additional heartfelt moments some additional heartfelt words in a few moments. For now, I want to say thank you for seeing a minister in me. Thank you for trusting me with your well-being and your care. Thank you for walking with me as we embark on our shared leadership of this congregation together. It is a special and a sacred responsibility, and I promise to take none of that lightly. In the words of my people being Lithuanians, and when I turn to Lithuania, it's from the heart, it's serious. Allow me to say in the words of my people, Achiu, not the sneezing noise, A-C-I-U, and the C has a half circle, so it gets pronounced C-H, Achiu. A-C-I-U, which simply means thank you.